Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Sometime in 1968, a classmate of mine in the religion department at Boston University suggested that I check out the Arlington Street Church, the Unitarian Universalist Church facing the Boston Garden. Arlene was Jewish, but she was dating the son of a Methodist minister, so she was checking things out. At that church, I found the theological openness, the friendliness of its members, the commitment to peace and justice, and the inspiration of the ministers such that about a year later, I decided to join. A group of us who had been attending for a while met in the vestry. Yes, that church has a vestry. Oh, if you don't know what a vestry is, that's the space behind the chancel. With a door that allows the minister to go to the pulpit without walking through the people. So the minister would pop out from this door, very well hidden in the plaster wall, and go straight to the pulpit without passing any other human beings. So in the vestry, a group of us met with a student minister. We were told about the privileges and responsibilities of membership and offered the opportunity to sign the membership book, which, although it did not date back to the late 1700s when the congregation was founded, they'd already filled at least one book up, it did go back quite some time. But there was no public ceremony or recognition, something that I now find odd as I look back. For joining a congregation, whether as a new Unitarian Universalist or as one who has moved to a new community from one where you lived before, was a member before, is something to honor and celebrate. It is a major life commitment. Now, I quickly found a community at the Arlington Street Church and a commitment. But it was some years before I began to really understand covenant in the context of a freely gathered religious society. In fact, it took me a few years to figure out what it meant to be a freely gathered religious society. Now, I had studied the biblical concept of covenant in courses in the literature and theology of the Old Testament, but not even in American religious history did we have anything in detail about the governance of congregations, be they ancient or modern. And yet covenant is a key to who we are as a liberal religious people. Therefore, to make sure we're all up to speed, and it doesn't take the new Unitarian Universalist years to figure out what this is all about, I will give a quick overview of covenant, commitment, and community. Covenant is very simple. It is the agreement to walk together. It is not an agreement to agree to a set of dogmas. It is not an agreement to follow a certain liturgy. It is not an agreement to take communion on the first or fourth Sunday of the month, as some Unitarian Universalist churches do. It is a commitment to walk together. From the passage in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Agreed about what? Well, basically agreed about walking together. Covenant is a relationship, a promise not to believe a certain thing, but to be and to do together with others. One of the oldest church covenants in what's now the United States is in Salem, Massachusetts, which was founded, the first church there was founded as a Puritan church in 1629. And indeed, all the early Massachusetts churches were Puritan churches. And Their covenant says, we covenant with the Lord and one another. I'm sorry, let me start that again. We covenant the Lord and one with another, and do bind ourselves in the presence of God to walk together in all his ways, according as he is blessed to reveal himself unto us in his blessed word of truth. Not a lot of detailed theology in that statement. We're going to walk together in the presence of God, follow his ways as he chooses to reveal them in his word. Well, they were good Protestants in that they did not tie the membership to a particular interpretation of what the scriptures might say. That's part of the Puritan tradition. They had a consensus amongst themselves about what it meant, but they didn't codify that in a specific statement. And indeed, it is that openness that allowed many of the early Puritan churches to eventually become Unitarian. A more modern version is one you will find in the back of the hymnal dating from the 20th century, and this is used in many of our congregations. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. A little more detailed, but not much. That's what a covenant is in a society of people who freely join together for an open religious search and experience and life together. An agreement about how to be together, not exactly what they will do or exactly what they will believe. Now, the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood several years ago adopted what it calls its community covenant, which is somewhat longer and more detailed than either of these. I will just remind you of the opening line and the three major points it has. And the entire text is in the insert with the new member welcome. It says, we build our community on a foundation of profound respect and love as we covenant together to respect and honor diversity among us, to communicate with kindness and support, and to foster a spirit of generosity among us. And that is, in short, the covenant of this particular congregation. So covenant, in effect, defines the community by how the people will act together and admits a person to it by joining in that covenant. And there are many aspects to community. There's caring, there's comfort. There's a solidarity that first comes from the likeness of being in the community, but then becomes stronger as it continues, even when the differences become apparent and people need to sometimes disagree with each other and struggle together. Community is in part the sense that people have when they join a congregation as a sense of welcomeness, as a sense of belonging, as a sense of this is where I should be. And that's certainly the kind of sense I had when I first joined a church in 1969 or so. But community, like solidarity, is not always easy. You join a religious society because it is here that you feel at home, because your beliefs and values are welcomed and respected. Whoever you are welcomed and respected. And even if when you join, you know it will be a while to become fully part of the congregation, you, one, know that it is possible, and two, that it is worth your while to work your way into a full involvement and integration into the congregation. Community, in this sense, helps shape identity. When you choose to become a Unitarian Universalist by joining a Unitarian or Universalist or Unitarian Universalist society, you take on that identity of Unitarian Universalist, and then you learn what it really means. It's more than just a statement of purposes and principles. It's more than the words of the covenant. It's the way we flesh those out and live those out over years, sometimes in agreement, sometimes in disagreement, and in shaping together the ways that best nurture the spirits of those who are present in a particular congregation. So it may take you a while to fully know and assume the identity of membership in this society and as a Unitarian Universalist. But as you do, you come to a deeper understanding of covenant as the organizing force of this and other freely gathered societies. Now, by freely gathered, I mean it's people who form the congregations. This is the story of what's called the left wing of the Protestant Reformation. You know, the right wing of the Reformation are the hierarchical churches, Episcopalian and you know, Church of England, and the Lutheran churches that have bishops and top-down organizations. The left wing are the ones who built up communities spontaneously and individually. The Baptists, the Quakers, the Anabaptists, the Congregationalists, and the Unitarians and Universalists. The ones who begin with the congregation and then build a structure to support it. The Salem Covenant that I read to you earlier is from a Puritan congregational church, but as I mentioned, its openness allowed that congregation to become Unitarian. And the last time I looked, which was admittedly back in the 1990s, they were still using that covenant. The covenant is not a creed. It just says how we will live together. So the covenant is to walk together in community, and it is a profound and often challenging commitment. Disagreements within congregations can become heated because the stakes are so high. So the late Unitarian Universalist theologian James Luther Adams often reminded his readers and his listeners, we live by our promises. That is to say, in the context of religious community, we live by our covenant. And commitment is how we live the covenant. We promise to act or be in a certain way in congregational life. It's not a highly constricted way, but it establishes order in the space to both agree and disagree together. Whether we use the ancient words from Salem or the more modern version or our own version, we commit to walk together in acceptance of each other's beliefs, whether derived from the Christian heritage or from elsewhere. In the going deeper meetings we've been having on theological diversity, members of this society are articulating a wide range of beliefs and practices that are theirs as Unitarian Universalists. That acceptance of each other in the diversity of belief is one core commitment of our covenant. Equally central, in my opinion, is the commitment to do the work of social justice and anti-racism, which is articulated by this society in several places. And there's another commitment, which the Puritans didn't articulate quite so explicitly. That is to support the society or the congregation with time, talent, and treasure. Time, the commitment to be here regularly and reliably for worship, to grow your soul, to partake in other activities, to engage more deeply with your fellow congregants. Your commitment to be here is extremely important. Talent. Each person has gifts that they can bring in addition to their presence. Perhaps you can sing and will join the choir. Perhaps you're good at talking with people and will join the stewardship team or the membership committee. Now, you notice I said talking with people. Not talking to people. Talking with people is a back and forth. And it's a real talent that not everyone has. Perhaps you are an artist and will expand the aesthetics of the environment of our worship space. Perhaps you are an organizer and will make an event happen or extend the reach of our social justice work. And finally, treasure. The covenant says that you're making covenant together, says that you will provide regular and generous financial support to the society. That left wing of the Reformation wasn't getting any tax money, as many churches did, wasn't getting anything from a hierarchy or endowments. It didn't have large amounts of land as the Catholic churches had and the monasteries that became Lutheran had. Whatever they had came from the people who formed the society, the congregation, the community. The covenant community is one that relies on its membership to meet the costs of its ministries. And you'll also support outreach through donations to the shared plate and affiliated organizations such as the Unitarian Universalist Search Committee, Service Committee. You have a search committee, we have a service committee also. And it's an international organization. And one fact that became evident to me in my first few years as a Unitarian Universalist is that these wonderful, sometimes idiosyncratic congregations are part of a larger worldwide movement with many parts. By the time I became a minister, I was well aware of and committed to support the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. I'm going to say a little bit about it because in April we always try to say something about the Service Committee. And on a new member Sunday, it's the perfect day to mention it. The Service Committee began in 1939 when the Reverend Waitstill and Mrs. Martha Sharp went to Prague on behalf of the American Unitarian Association to help Jews and other victims of Nazism to flee to safety. Formally, the Unitarian Service Committee was organized the next year, 1940, and at a similar time, give or take a year, the Universalist Church of America, they're still separate, formed a committee on social service, which did similar work. But it began with the Sharps' mission to Europe. And they returned the next year, 1940, with the support of the organized committee to continue their work of helping refugees free from France. And there were many children, Jewish intellectuals, and others. And the Flaming Chalice was devised as a design to identify the Unitarian Service Committee locations as opposed to the Red Cross, as opposed to the American Friends Service Committee, and so, as opposed to the Crescent, which was the Muslim relief group. Now, I learned of the Service Committee's work over decades to advance human rights around the world, beginning actually about 30 years after the Sharps had gone out, was when I began to learn these things. And when I got to my first congregation in Burbank, California, in the late 1970s, it was time for a big 40th anniversary celebration, which I helped plan for the Los Angeles area. But the range of work that Service Committee does and has done is impressive. Not just the help with refugees in Europe during the Second World War and after, refugee resettlement after, but in other situations such as in Darfur in more recent years, in support of oppressed peoples in Latin America, in expansion of women's access to birth control in Haiti, a project that went on through the 60s and 70s in significant ways, and addressing judicial excess in the United States in the 1970s and 80s. You know, the big expansion of the prison industrial complex was beginning then, and the Service Committee was engaged in trying to stop that expansion, somewhat ahead of other progressive groups in this country. The Service Committee has partnered with local organizations to serve victims of disaster around the world, including the Gulf Coast of the United States after the hurricanes Katrina and Rita. But elsewhere around the world, much work for women's rights and for water rights, which are often connected in developing countries, because the women are the ones responsible for the provision of water to their families. and Service Committee has for decades worked on those issues. And it began work locally in Los Angeles when I was there, and this is how I got introduced to this work, around issues of excessive and unwarranted police violence against people of color. That was 1979. And that work goes on today, not through UUSC, which I'm rather sad to say, but through Black Lives Matter, because the excessive use of violence against mostly young men of color, but not exclusively men, goes on. In 2006, a year after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita devastated the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and Mississippi, I was in New Orleans on behalf of the National Alliance to Restore Opportunity for the Gulf Coast and Displaced Persons. You can tell that that name was devised by a group of academics, but the coalition was much broader than the academics who started it. And while there, I was thrilled to meet staff that had been engaged by the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee to work on relief in New Orleans, which was the Service Committee's first domestic relief effort. They had done social justice and human rights work in the U.S., but that was their first relief effort in the U.S. Many members of USR are also members of the Service Committee. Iram Mendelsberg is the Society's leader, liaison with UUSC, and I'm a member of the UUSC's Ministerial Leadership Network. And among the ways we support it is through the generosity of the Guest at Your Table program we do at the holidays. And this year we raised $671.85 for the Service Committee. And this week I received a letter from Bill Schulz, who will this year retire as Chief Executive of the Service Committee, thanking us for that generosity and summarizing the work they do for vulnerable peoples around the world. So the commitment to walk together as a member of this society and as a Unitarian Universalist goes beyond that which personally benefits us as individuals and a community. Under the third heading of USR's Community Covenant to foster a spirit of generosity among us, are these words of commitment. We work for justice and engage in acts of service and compassion to others. I've just described UUSC today as one way we do it nationally and internationally. Closer to home, we work with Camp YDP in Patterson, the New Jersey Abortion Access Fund, People's Organization for Progress, the Unitarian Universalist Legislative Ministry of New Jersey, and many, many other ways. Next Sunday, the service will be presented by the Racial Justice Task Force and focus on the discrepancies in public education between one district and another here in New Jersey. Sadly, New Jersey is in the top 10 on school segregation, ninth of 50 states in terms of the degree of school segregation. It used to be the second most segregated racially by residents, but it's dropped down a little bit on the list, but it's still in the top 10 for that as well. But next week you'll focus on the discrepancies between school districts and the kind of work we need to do to address that injustice. And I'm pleased that Junius Williams from the Abbott Institute at Rutgers University will be here. Now, although I have been a member of several congregations since I first joined the Arlington Street Church, I remember the excitement of making the choice of a religion for myself as a young adult and joining a congregation. It was exciting. And here I am still at it, now a minister. I hope that those of you who today signed the membership book of this society are as excited as I was all those years ago. I hope you'll find here the excitement that I first found at the Arlington Street Church, the sense of community and commitment that helped me to navigate my life as a young adult, first as single and a college student, and then married and working. And if this society is not your first UU congregation, I hope that you recall that first excitement and find a new excitement today. Now, the members of a community such as this one will not always agree on social justice issues or, you know, how the hall should be decorated or a host of other things. And theological disagreement is an integral part of life in a freely gathered liberal religious society. Nevertheless, we walk together in spite of and sometimes even in celebration of our differences. We support and care for each other through the challenges of our lives. We live the liberal religious life in covenant, commitment, and community. Let us today pledge ourselves to continue to live in such community as we move forward into the future. Blessed be, and amen.